HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. This just in, a grand jury has indicted the suspect in the killing of United Healthcare CEO on a charge of murder as an act of terrorism. There are many questions about the suspect in yesterday's school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Some have asked if people were specifically targeted. Everyone was targeted in this incident, and everyone was put in equal danger.
In Long Island, New York, an accused serial killer has been charged with another murder. Reporter Carolyn Gussoff.
A seventh murder pinned on Rex Huerman, who spoke in court for the first time. Your Honor, he said, I'm not guilty of any of these crimes.
Ukraine says it assassinated the head of Russia's chemical weapons. Reporter Haley Ott.
For Ukraine, Kirillov was a legitimate target of war. Russia has said that they're treating the bombing as a terrorist attack.
He was killed by a scooter packed with explosives. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents who still have a landline through AT&T will soon have to plan a change. Company officials say they're planning to discontinue their landline service in Wisconsin and other states by 2029. According to their data, about 5% of their residential customers still use a landline connected through copper technology, which they say is too susceptible to water damage and the wiring is more likely to be stolen. The company has introduced an alternative service that functions like a landline but runs over wireless networks. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents that they may need to upgrade their license to travel beginning in 2025. According to a press release, the agency is using the busy travel season to remind residents that beginning May 7th, a real ID will be required to board a domestic flight and enter federal buildings or military bases. Wisconsin has offered the real ID cards since 2013 and has already issued over 3 million of them. A list of the documents needed to upgrade to the real ID is available online. The criminal case against a New Auburn man involved in a standoff in Barron County is set to proceed. 60-year-old Joseph Pushek was arrested on October 12th after being accused of pointing a firearm at the residence of a home near Chetek after the residents told him that his child wasn't there. A standoff ensued when law enforcement authorities arrived, during which Pushek allegedly pointed the firearm at deputies and rammed an armored vehicle with his truck. He is facing multiple charges, including domestic abuse and endangering safety. An Almena man has been charged in the Barron County Circuit Court for allegedly stealing a truck and driving it nearly three times the legal limit. According to court documents, 52-year-old Feliciano Sanchez allegedly took the vehicle from the Almena home without the permission of the owner, who called law enforcement authorities to report it stolen and advised them that Sanchez was highly intoxicated. A Turtle Lake police officer later found the truck at an Almena gas station, and a blood draw showed a BAC of over 0.25. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Thunder in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup Championship. Doc Rivers asked about the Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the league, featuring Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, against the Bucks, now one of the oldest.
They're good. I enjoy watching them play. Shai's one of my favorite players. I actually got to coach him in his rookie year. But and I joke about it. And all these young teams are flying around, and we're going to come in with our little canes and wheelchairs and play them.
College hoops, the Badgers' next game coming up Sunday when they host Detroit Mercy. Wisconsin dropped out of the AP top 25 rankings after losing three straight last week, but beat Butler over the weekend.
Much happier locker room than we've had the last three games, and I think these guys really have earned it. And obviously, when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity, and how you respond to that and how you use those experiences to grow, I think, tells us a lot about the character of the young men in our locker room, and I couldn't be happier for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries or brief snow showers this evening, cloudy tonight, low 20s. More clouds than sun for tomorrow, a high in the mid-20s. Then snow showers late tomorrow night and a Thursday with accumulations. Becoming breezy as well, highs mid-20s. Current temp is 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nationally syndicated Tribune Media columnist and comedian Greg Schwemm and marketing director of the Marinette Community Rec Center, Sean Katzbach, joins the show to talk about the STEAM concert.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to bring you some breaking news. The press conference with Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg related to the indictment of Luigi Mangione for the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson just concluded moments ago. I wanted to share with you some of which I was able to glean from that press conference. First and foremost, there is an array of charges that Mr. Mangione has been indicted on, including gun charges. He's got one count of first degree murder, two counts of second degree murder, as well as a terrorism charge. What stood out to me during the press conference was that DA Alvin Bragg repeatedly referred to this as terrorism under New York statute. Terrorism is defined that one of the elements is that the crime was committed with the intent to intimidate or coerce a person's or the public as to a matter of public policy. Coerce or persuade, intimidate a person or the public on a matter of public policy to instill fear. Again, DA Alvin Bragg repeatedly referring to this as terrorism. He also took care to admonish us to remember Mr. Thompson and his family. And one of the things as an attorney, as your lawyer, not giving legal advice, but your lawyer that is here on the air with you and an economist, what I can tell you about this large array of charges, including these gun charges, is that it will provide the jury with an array of options when they eventually begin their deliberations. This is often utilized as a tactic by prosecutors if they are concerned that a jury may not be convinced of the top charge or charges. Oftentimes, these are called lesser included offenses whose elements would be met. Some of the elements would be met, and they are a subset of the elements that would be needed for the top charge, a lesser included offense. Again, Luigi Mangione being charged, he's indicted. First count, top count, one count of first degree murder, two counts, second degree murder, an array of gun charges, a terrorism charge. This from the press conference just concluding moments ago with Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. The magazines, Mr. Bragg described that Mr. Mangione was arrested with magazine enhancing rounds so that there'd be more than 10 rounds in each magazine. The gun was a 9mm ghost gun, which itself generates a charge. He also reviewed where Mr. Mangione went on the day of the shooting. Widely reported that he got on an e-bike after the shooting, which was in Midtown, proceeded up to West 178th Street, where he took a taxi. They went through those details. And here was another phrase the district attorney used during the press conference, that this was a killing, a quote, killing intended to invoke terror, intended to invoke terror, end quote. That is the breaking news this hour on the Luigi Mangione murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. At this point, I think it would be appropriate for us to now turn to and revisit the Abundant Life Christian School fatal shooting, which occurred yesterday just outside of Madison. Let's start with these facts. First of all, folks, just so that if this is new information to you, I apologize for breaking it. But again, reviewing of the facts. Three people dead after this shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School just outside of Madison, including the shooter, now identified as a 15-year-old girl. The reports from the press conference that concluded just before we got on air at 2 p.m. indicated that they do not know what the motive may have been for this killing. They are looking into a manifesto. They are trying to trace the gun. We yet don't know where this teenage shooter got the gun from. But again, a 15-year-old female student was the shooter at Abundant Life Christian School yesterday in Madison. This evening at the Capitol in Madison, there will be a vigil that begins at 6 p.m. I wanted to share that information with all of you. And I also wanted to share this, that the United Way of Dane County has now started a fundraiser for the Abundant Life Christian School community. They issued a statement announcing the fundraiser. It reads as follows: our hearts go out to every student, family, and educator who's been affected by this act of violence. While our collective reality is forever changed, United Way of Dane County stands ready to help our community recover. 100% of the money will go toward the Abundant Life Christian School community. To learn more or donate, you can go to UnitedWayDaneCounty.org. That's United Way Dane County, all one word, UnitedWayDaneCounty.org, to find out more or to donate. Again, 100% of those proceeds going to the Abundant Life Christian School community. Of course, this is bringing up a lot of questions about the use of guns, the prevalence of guns, the incredible amounts of gun violence that we see here in our country every year. A number of guns that exceeds, on a per capita basis, absolute basis, I don't care how you measure it, that exceeds any other comparable Western democracy. And a corresponding amount of gun violence that exceeds any other westernized democracy. By the way, for those of you listening, I just got a couple of comments on the text line about the selection of the song Pumped Up Kicks. I know that it is about a school shooter. That's why we played it. The poppy beat is belied by the lyrics of that song. It is a deeply serious matter that was not by accident. I appreciate the intentionality and concern of those of you texting. If you want to join our conversation this afternoon, I invite you to do so. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton noting it was crushing to see The Onion post the school shooting article again last night with the photo using Madison, Wisconsin. I couldn't agree with you more. But let's take some sound from this most recent press conference. Calvin was kind enough to put some of it together. Let's go ahead and take that first cut you got, Cal.
student reunification with their loved ones could not have happened as swiftly as it did without the assistance of SSM Health Dean Medical Clinic, as well as the Quick Trip. Additionally, many people work well into the night and supported local restaurants and community who came together and provided food and other logistical support for our team. Yesterday, we came together as one team, as one Madison, as one country, and we should feel incredibly proud about our response.
That's Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes. Let's listen to the next cut as well. This is from a press conference that concluded just before we went on air at 2 p.m. Let's take a listen.
Yesterday, after looking at the computer-aided dispatch system, it seems as if a call came from a second grader. It actually read, the call came from a second grade teacher. That was a mistake. That's my responsibility, and I apologize, and I clarify that today. It did not come from a second grader. It read second grade teacher.
How refreshing. Someone taking responsibility and accountability and offering an apology for a mistake and then correcting the record for misinformation that got out there. That's notable in and of itself. We've got a bit more sound. Let's take the next couple of cuts, Cal, if you don't mind.
We know a document has been widely shared on social media. At this time, we cannot verify its authenticity. We have detectives working today to determine where this document originated and who actually shared it online. At this time, we cannot verify the document. We ask that you not share the document or spread any information that may be false. Our department will provide an update on this document when we can.
And let's go ahead and take the final cut. Again, this is from the press conference. This is Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes. That press conference on the fatal shooting, school shooting that occurred yesterday at Abundant Life Christian School. Let's take a listen.
Today, numerous MMSD schools were targeted by false threats, often known as swatting. We're working closely with the Madison Metropolitan School District to determine where these originated and to investigate this call. We do not believe that there are any current threats to any Madison area schools and will continue to investigate these calls and any threats of violence as they come in. Let me be clear on this point. Making false threats is a crime, and we are working with the district attorneys to prosecute these crimes as information is gathered.
That was Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes in statements made at a press conference shortly before we came on air related to the fatal shooting at Abundant Life Christian School yesterday just outside Madison, Wisconsin. I am going to make a decision on my show just so that you all are aware. I'm not going to be naming the shooter. It was a 15-year-old female student from Abundant Life Christian School. She died on the way to a local hospital of what police believe to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. That's, again, according to Madison Police Chief Barnes. Two students remain in critical condition. Three other students and one teacher suffered non-life-threatening injuries, and two of those folks have been released from nearby hospitals. Our discussion continues, including the basic best practices of threat assessment and what to do if you find yourself in an active shooter situation. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the center of the kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I don't know what she said to you by the riverside, for I was marching to the sea. Chances that I can't take. It was sweet, but now it's sour. Oh, this rhapsody of ours.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We continue our discussion today about the tragic and fatal shooting that occurred yesterday at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. Investigators have searched the shooter's house, have spoken with her families, but again, as I noted, have not yet identified a motive for the attack. They also do not know how she obtained a firearm. The shooter had no criminal history, no prior run-ins with police. You heard just before the break, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes mentioning that a alleged manifesto had been circulating online. He asked folks not to reshare that they have not been able to verify its veracity. I'll repeat that. What we don't need here is incorrect information being promulgated about this tragedy. The police chief also indicating that they are continuing to look through her effects to try to identify any computers or cell phones, that there were relevant data or transmissions about the shooting. They're looking into whether she had contact with anyone else about the shooting. At the school, investigators did recover the firearm that they believe was used in the attack. And the police chief has also indicated that the shooter's family has been cooperating with authorities. This is both a shocking and tragic case. And I think for a lot of us raises the question like, hey, are female school shooters common, or is this as rare as it may seem at first blush? And again, according to reporting following this tragedy in Madison, it is indeed, according to experts and data that is publicly available, it is indeed quite rare for there to be a female shooter. Over the 544 school shooting incidents that are publicly tracked and reported over an 11-year period, less than 5% of the shooters were female. This is data compiled by Every Town for Gun Safety, a nonprofit group that advocates for stronger gun laws. We're also going to have a really special interview a replay of an interview that I did back in September with the parent of one of the students that lost their lives in the Parkland school shooting. So we're going to replay that. That's from September of this year. It's in the lead up to the election. But I wanted to share this bit of sound with you. This is John Stewart a few months back, maybe 6-7 months back, interviewing Oklahoma State Senator Nathan Dom about gun regulation. Let's take a listen.
I'm a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. I believe the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the one right that's listed in the Constitution that uses that very specific shall affirmative language, shall not be infringed.
Well, it's also the one right that uses the phrase well-regulated.
Correct, when it's talking about the militia and the state.
By the way, just for clarity's sake,
yeah.
I'm not against the Second Amendment. I don't want to ban guns. But you're saying more guns makes us more safe.
Yes.
So when we got 400 million guns in the country, we had an increase and gun deaths went up. So when exactly does this curve hit that takes it down? Would a billion guns do it?
Let's just run those numbers. 400 million, 50,000.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about less than a fraction of not even a percent, of a hundredth of a percent.
But it goes up, not down. So your argument is backwards.
But if you want, okay, so let's come up with a solution, okay? So one of the issues, a contributing factor, again, I believe it's the individual that is the problem.
So your solution to that is give them more guns.
So I'm saying that because people are the problem, we need to look at the problems that those people are facing and how do we address it.
For instance, you've removed the ability for the state to do that.
No, because you're...
If you don't have background checks and you don't have registration and permitting, how do you know who has a problem in terms of the people who you're giving a gun to?
Do you want to talk about the background checks first or do you want to talk about solutions first?
I want to talk about... What you're doing is you're bringing chaos to order.
That's your subjective opinion, that it's bringing chaos to order.
It's not my subjective opinion. We have 50,000 gun-related deaths. That's not a subjective opinion.
Okay, so
that's dead people.
Hmm. That background checks aren't part of the solution, that a waiting period isn't part of the solution, that ballistics registries aren't part of the solution, that greater gun enforcement, funding the ATF more properly isn't part of the solution, that maybe there can be things like common sense gun regulation, that that's not part of the solution seems to me to be stupid. Upcoming, you're going to hear my September 3rd interview with Fred Gutenberg, who is now a common sense gun regulation activist. He is the father of one of the victims of the Parkland school shooting. That is coming up to you next, a special replay of that interview. I thought it very timely. And before the end of the hour, I'm going to share with you the basics of threat assessment and the FBI's best practices for how to survive an active shooter situation. All of that is coming up here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Before we go to our next break, I want to say this to each and every one of you. If you believe there is a threat, if someone makes indications that they may be ready to commit some kind of act of violence imminently against themselves or others, please call 911. If you or someone you love are in an acute mental health crisis, we've got a national hotline for that now. It's 988. Pick up the phone and call someone. Because until we can start to engage some common sense gun regulation that respects the Second Amendment, our care for one another and our good common sense are our best weapons against this sort of tragedy and violence in our schools and against our friends and family members. We come back, you're going to hear the Fred Gutenberg interview from September 3rd, and I'll be back after that to share these best practices tips with each and every one of you. They may save your life, so keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
In Wisconsin, we've got folks looking forward to either snow for a white Christmas. We've also got people crossing their fingers for a forecast that makes holiday travel easy. But if we train our eyes south, Brazil and Argentina want to see their good weather hold strong as they're in the height of their growing season. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing has our South American update.
And so far, the weather is very, very good in terms of there's no weather premium in that soybean market. Analysts continue to raise that crop total up now well into the low 170 million metric ton level. So we're just going to have a pile of beans getting put together here. Obviously, the next couple of weeks, a month or so, too, here will be very, very key because now it's the January-August time frame down there in Brazil as they start to fill that crop out.
Market advisor John Heinberg joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend with an update on what's going on with our grain competitors to the south. We'll take a look at our closing markets in just a moment.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp, Cleary Building Corp, built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On the close Tuesday from Chicago, grain markets have pushed lower, but good news continues for Class 3 milk contracts. The January contract is up 19 cents at $20.49 a hundredweight, and the February contract is up 8 cents at $20.05. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which has followed suit. Barrel cheese closed up a nickel and a half at $1.78 and a half, and the 40-pound block cheese closed up 3 3/4 cents at $1.86. If we look at AA butter, that's up 2 cents from yesterday at $2.52 a pound. 2025 new crop corn closed down a penny and 3/4 at $4.38 and a half. 2025 new crop soybeans are down 10 cents at $9.88 and 3/4. And July new crop wheat is down 6 1/4 cents, closing at $5.61 and a quarter. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries or brief snow showers this evening, cloudy tonight, low 20s. More clouds than sun for tomorrow, a high in the mid-20s. Then snow showers late tomorrow night and a Thursday with accumulations. Becoming breezy as well, highs mid-20s. Current temp is 30.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, stops in for a hump day edition. And we'll see. Maybe Luke Mathers and Trigley Olson as well. It's a potpourri. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is my humble privilege to invite my next guest onto the show and to host him this afternoon. His name is Fred Gutenberg. He is the father of Jamie Gutenberg, who died on February 14th, 2018, at Parkland. Since that time, Fred and his wife, Jennifer, have made it their mission, their family's mission, to hold elected officials accountable for being bought and sold by the gun lobby, and to make our schools and our communities a safer place by advocating for common sense gun regulations. Welcome, Fred. Thank you so much for making time for our, show this afternoon.
You know, it's amazing. I knew you guys were going to use that song, but it still gets me emotional. My daughter was a competitive dancer. She was always known as My Tiny Dancer. Well, Elton John knew about it. He actually dedicated it to her in a performance, and listening to it, opening the show, still gets me.
Fred, you're making me tear up.
I'm a mess, man.
Yeah. Let's just take a moment, and I want to honor Jamie and honor your family's commitment to this incredible work to make all of our communities safer. Her memory you honor every day through your work. And you've been working with the Brady Political Action Committee. Mm-hmm. And they have focused recently on five freshmen congressmen who are irrationally and irretrievably opposed to any of the common sense gun regulations that the overwhelming majority of Americans support. Things like red flag laws, mm-hmm. right? And the Brady Political Action Committee is particularly focusing on these five freshmen, not only because of their stance, but because they are in congressional districts that are swing districts and can right. be won. One right. of those freshman five, if you will, is Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District Representative Derek Van Orden. I want to ask you, obviously the death of your daughter is motivating, but you have really devoted all of your time to this effort, Fred. Why is it so important at this juncture, especially as to these five congresspeople, for people to be aware of their stances on common sense gun regulation and to get out there and vote? Why do you spend so much time on this work?
Because 3 weeks after my daughter was killed, we did pass common sense gun legislation in Florida, a really conservative state, and we did it with a bunch of really conservative Republicans backing the bill. And as part of that initiative, we raised the age to 21 and we passed red flag laws, which have now been used in Florida over 15,000 times, the majority of which are being used by the conservative sheriffs throughout the state. Okay. It is not a Democratic thing that is driving safety in Florida. The Republican sheriffs are getting it as well. And listen, after my daughter was killed, I set out on a mission not to be anti-gun, but to be anti-gun violence. I hate gun violence. I want to save lives. I want to stop the next one. And wanting that doesn't make me against the Second Amendment. It doesn't make me anti-gun. But a roadblock are these miserable, just despicable people like a Rep Van Orden who says things that make it appear as if doing anything about gun violence or reducing gun violence makes you anti-gun. And they're liars, you know? They're bad people. They have bad motives. My motive is to stop the next one. My motive is to make sure a dad like me, gets to continue watching his tiny dancer dance. Rep Van Orden's motive is more money from the NRA. We are different.
Indeed, sir. And to your very point, the painting of this as a false choice between either respect for the Second Amendment or banning of all weapons, we can hear that from Representative Van Orden's very mouth. Ryan, we're going to take some of this Van Orden sound. This is Representative Van Orden. He was in a congressional hearing. The rule that was being debated was specifically the Veterans Administration due to the epidemic of veteran suicide, which we just indirectly talked about in the prior segment due to Donald Trump's disgusting overall behavior at Arlington National Cemetery. The Veterans Administration was in effect trying to put in place a red flag rule for veterans if they posed an imminent threat of harm to themselves or others. Listen to how Van Orden goes about questioning the Veterans Administration official that was trying to explain why this would help save veterans' lives and, in some cases, the lives of those closest to them. Let's take a listen.
So in the spirit of the 18th and the 21st Amendment, which repealed it, are you calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment?
I am not. I'm prepared to accept the way the Supreme Court has interpreted the Second Amendment and to try to work within the exception in Justice Scalia's statement in Heller that the right is not unlimited. And so it
falls to us. That's correct. In the book Reading Law, Antonin Scalia goes through the developmental process of the Second Amendment, and I think that you're misinterpreting what he's saying. So now listen to me here. What we're doing is we are subverting the Second Amendment. The Veterans Administration does not have the authority to remove constitutional rights now or ever. This body, including my Democrat colleagues, are the only body that are chartered by our Constitution that can change it. You are not. Neither is he. You can't do that. And you're actively, willfully, and knowingly subverting the Constitution of the United States of America, and that will not stand with this body, sir. So either you amend the Constitution, which is incredibly difficult on purpose, so you can't willy-nilly change these things. It takes a very deliberative and hard-fought process. We watched the movie Lincoln last night as a body, and it's fantastic. It was a two-month period of time about the ratification of the 13th Amendment, which freed men and helped correct the original sin in this country. And it was 20 Democrats voted for that. And if they had not, it would not have passed. So either you call for the repeal of the Second Amendment or you stop doing this. And you stop doing this. Knock it off. You're subverting the constitutional rights of American citizens, and you don't have that authority. We do. That is all I have to say. Yes, sir. Please comment, Mr. Swanson.
I certainly concede that we cannot broadly limit legal access to guns.
Well, then don't.
What we have to do is something more difficult, and that is to figure out who are the people who pose such a high risk of harming themselves or others that it is justified.
Mr. Swanson, you're a clinical psychologist who's been in this field for almost 40 years, and you haven't figured it out yet? Then maybe you should look at a different vocation, sir.
I think we've made a lot of progress on that score, and I think
we have not. Veteran suicide's increasing. That's not true. That is not true. We've spent $19 billion in 2023 on suicide prevention, and suicides are increasing.
We need
so
to-
your methodology has been proven to be bad, and I have no more time, sir. Without a yield back, thank you.
I apologize, Mr. Gutenberg, for the length of that clip, but the audacity, the disrespect, and the complete abrogation of any responsibility on Representative Van Orden's part to actually engage in the substantive, nuanced discussion that is the point. How do we help people with mental health issues, and how does that intersect with the Second Amendment? I think is just, I mean, I heard that, and By the way, the video's terrible too, because he's literally wagging his finger. But this is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Fred?
So let me address Van Orden. Then let me address the topic. And then let me tell you what we're going to do. First on Van Orden, having a guy who was in D.C. on January 6th attempting to undermine the democracy, the Constitution, counsel anybody on what the Constitution means, he can go to you know where, okay? He doesn't care about democracy. He doesn't care about the Constitution. If he did, he would not have been there in D.C. on that day prepared to hang Mike Pence. So that's who he is. So I just don't feel like hearing from him any constitutional lessons. That said, I am familiar with the history of this. In fact, I wrote a book called American Carnage. And the history of America is one as a country with gun owners, a Second Amendment, but with respect for safety. In fact, we always pursued safety up until the 80s when the NRA went through a major shift and they started pursuing guys like Van Orden to implement the policies that would ultimately sell more guns. And that's who he is. That's who he is beholden to. So, but it hasn't always been this way. And when you look at the most recent Supreme Court decision, just a couple of years ago, they overturned, in the Bruin case, a law in New York that was over 100 years old. And I mentioned the age of that law because we always pass laws to reduce gun violence until guys like Van Orden came around. So let's be clear on that. As for the policy, it is clear that the work of the past couple of years to reduce gun violence is working. Gun violence isn't just homicides. It is also suicides.
Yes.
In fact, somewhere it used to be two-thirds. It's now less than two-thirds of all gun violence is suicides. But because of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, suicides with a gun are down. Homicides are down, and Van Orden is just wrong. So there's a really simple solution to guys like Van Orden. Tell them we don't need them any longer. They can go find some other employment somewhere else and vote. Just freaking vote. We don't need guys like him in D.C. Listen, one of my closest friends now is one of the original Tea Party guys, former Congressman Joe Walsh, a gun guy who actually can have rational, reasonable conversations with me about guns and agrees with me we have to do more to keep them out of the hands of those who intend harm to themselves or someone else.
We're going to take care of just a little bit of business. Former Representative Joe Walsh, certainly a friend of this show. We've had him on a few times. I love getting him riled up. I love hearing from you, Mr. Gutenberg. We're going to come back, folks, with Fred Gutenberg, father of Jamie Gutenberg, who died in the Parkland shooting on February 14th, 2018. He is now a common sense gun regulation advocate so that we can reduce gun violence across every single community. Stick with us, folks. Such an important discussion to be had. Derek Van Orden, unfit to serve. We'll be back here on the Civic Media Radio Network after these important messages.
.5 The Tap.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Gerrymandering, the manipulation of voting district boundaries to engineer an election outcome which benefits a particular party, had a significant impact on control of the new Congress. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found over 4 of 5 congressional districts were won by a margin of over 10%, including 90% of the GOP House majority. Within that number, 132 GOP winners were in districts with winning margins of 25% or more, and 112 by a Democrat. In comparison, only 37 districts nationwide were decided by 5% or less, and only 19 districts were competitive enough to flip. The Brennan Center points to North Carolina as a state which, after a more liberal Supreme Court was flipped conservative in 2022, replaced the previous court's 7-7 competitive maps with the legislature's gerrymandered version, resulting in a 10-4 GOP congressional seat advantage. The most effective solution to gerrymandering at the moment is citizen-led independent redistricting, which has been successful in producing fairer and more competitive maps in California, Michigan, Utah, and a handful of other states. Brennan found that independent commissions, citizen-led or otherwise, drew only 82 congressional districts this cycle, but those districts were 3 times more competitive. We have the Brennan Center's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like
Welcome
you,
back, everybody. Dad. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just before we came back, we listened to an interview I did with Fred Gutenberg back in September of this year, to the extent that it was overtly about the politics of that moment. My apologies if that landed poorly with anyone, but I did think it was an appropriate time to give Fred's voice and his perspective on this as a father of one of the students that survived the Parkland shooting, a good time to revisit that discussion. So thanks for listening in. I promised you all before we took Fred's interview from back in September that I would review with you from federal law enforcement experts, both the tips to assess threats. How do you know if a threat is real, if it's a high level of threat, as well as the tactics and techniques for surviving an active shooter situation. So let's get right to that. Basically, law enforcement and threat assessment experts do this at 3 levels of threat assessment. Low threat, medium level threat, and high threat. No big shock there. Low risk levels of threats are threats that are vague and indirect. Threats that have very little specific information or include inconsistent information. Threats that are implausible, again, lacking detail, lacking realism. And otherwise content that suggests that the person is unlikely to carry out the threat. That is a low threat level. A medium threat level, again, you've got somewhat more direct, somewhat more concrete. The wording suggests that the threatener has given it some thought and have thought about, has considered how they'd carry it out. But there is no strong indication that the threatener has actually taken steps in advance of carrying out the threat. Not a lot of preparation. And there tends to be in these medium level threats some statement to the effect of, look, I really mean this, or I'm serious. That is not the high-level threat. The high-level threat is something that is direct, specific, plausible. A high-level threat indicates that there has been some preparation, some steps have already been completed, like I have a weapon that they have practiced, that they are, again, taking the steps that will be necessary to carry out the threat. Statements that indicate they're familiar of the with the location that they'll carry out the threat, that they may have it under surveillance or a person under surveillance. When it is specific and plausible and direct, you need to call 911 and let someone know. It's basic levels of threat assessment. If you are interested in more information on this, the book that I think is absolutely a treatise on this is called The Gift of Fear. The book's title is The Gift of Fear. I read it every couple of years to remind myself that my intuition is my strongest weapon to fight for my own safety. Now let us get to steps. This is from a SEAL Team 6 member to survive an active shooter. I'm going to go through this quickly. But we will revisit this topic, and I'll include some information on coming shows. We'll revisit this again. You need to know your exits in any building that you are in. Make a mental note of at least 3 exit options, preferably in 3 different directions. Locate places and objects that can serve as cover. Keep your eyes open. Look at people. Look for people with large bags that are isolated. If you hear a shot fired in a closed environment, you will know that it is gunfire. It is very, very distinctive. And the first thing that you need to do is get yourself out of the kill zone, and you need to do so without hesitation. You're going to need to fight. However, the natural impulse to just start running in any old direction. You got to think about your exits, where the fire is coming from. You're going to need to maintain cover while the shooting may be ongoing. And you're going to want to get to your exit, execute your plan in stages. You want to think, I'm going to get to that plant or that table. That's step one. Then you're going to mark your next path. That's step two, so on and so forth. Again, maintain your cover. You're going to have to cross some open areas where there is danger. When you come across those open areas, listen for a pattern in the gunfire. When it pauses, that is when you move. You need, again, to gain as much distance from the shooter or the building as quickly as possible. When you have a moment of safety, gather yourself, reconfirm your plan. If you are with a group of people moving, the formation is a single line. The person in front looks front. The person that is second in line looks left. Third in line looks right. The person in the back of the line is responsible for keeping an eye on your back. But do not walk backwards. You will fall down. Just turn around and check every couple of seconds. You are going to want to call 911 and give human intelligence who you are, what's happening, and where. How many shooters? What sort of weapon? Those kinds of things. And you will ultimately perhaps need to fight for your life. When all else fails, you fight back with any and everything on hand. And keep in your mind's eye the reason that you want to live. It's your kids. It's your family. Focus on that and make it to safety. That's going to do it for me. Oh, one last tip. When you exit the building, get your hands in the air and keep repeating, I am unarmed. Do not shoot. I am unarmed. We are unarmed. I am a friendly. We're going to leave it there, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Stay safe out there. Boy was just like me.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll talk to a school administrator from up north who's the state's new superintendent of the year. You could accurately call her superior.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Luigi Mangione has been indicted on 11 counts in New York, including first-degree murder.
For the brazen, targeted, and premeditated shooting of Brian Thompson.
DA Alvin Bragg says the killing of the United Healthcare CEO was well-planned to cause shock, attention, and intimidation.
It occurred in one of the most bustling parts of our city, threatening the safety of local residents and tourists alike.
Mangione is currently being held in Pennsylvania, where he was arrested. CBS's Anna Schechter.
When he comes to New York, he'll likely be housed at Rikers Island. At this point, charges have been filed. He's going to be consulting with his attorney. We'll probably have a hearing in New York, and then we're going to hear about a plea.
Bragg said there are indications that Mangione could waive his right to contest his extradition to New York. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is